Gemara of Chesmabei cites the Mishnah in Peah, Eregil Mishnah Ches, that tells us the case of a kosev kol nechosov la'avda. In such a case, clear, the devil goes free, and the devil requires all of the nechsei ha'avda. But what happens if somehow something is withheld? So the Tanakhama tells us the following, if shir karka kol shuhu, if anything at all is withheld, in such a case, lo yatzav ochorin, that he does not go free at all. That simple stipulation that something, there's some element of shiur, that itself is going to impair the chayus. And Rabbi Shimon disagrees, maintains that's not true, that no, the shichra will be chal, he's considered to be a ben chorin, unless he says that chutz me'echad me'ribu shabahem. Unless, for example, he excludes not an item, but rather a percentage of. That somehow is impactful even when it comes to the gufo shaleven, that the shikra is considered to be that which is incomplete. So beginning with the shita of Tanakam, if it's simply shir karka kol shuhu, in that case that lo yatsa l'cheirus, what exactly does that mean? So Rashi Ramas Holo writes in stunning Yiddish, what exactly do we mean by karka kol shuhu, karka kol shuhu? So Rashi writes the following, that even if the kol shuhu is explicitly demarcated, afilu seeing the higdur es ashir, I say that, you know what, everything except for this, and I specifically delineate what indeed this is. That's a striking chiddush, that even if it's explicit, it is not at all ambiguous. But still we assume, according to Tanakama, that lo yatsa l'chiris. Well, when you look in the Rif, certainly not that way, no? The Rif writes the following, that when the Mishnah describes shir karka kol shu, it means sasam. It's sasam, with an exception. Not with this is an exception, but with an exception. However, if he writes chutz mikarka plonis, even the Tanakhama is going to agree that yatsa l'cheirus. The fact that I want to hold on to a particular parcel of land, why should that impact in any shape or form on what I'm transferring to that event? It's only because it's ambiguous and low higdir that is considered to be the issue. So Rashi writes, even in a case where it is absolutely clear, except for this, however, according to Rifno, it means except for an exception, an exclusion. That's some fundamental machlokes, Rashi, and the Shita of the Rif. Why do we assume, according to the Rif, that if I say, for example, lo siim, I say with an exception of karka, why is it that that goes ahead and impairs, according to Tanakhama, the act of shikhar itself? So the Rif writes the following. Because once you go ahead and say with an exception of karka, so you're not going to be able to acquire any karka. Once you demonstrate that, you know what, that you will be able to go into acquire my assets with the exception of a parcel of land, so in such a case, you cannot acquire any parcel of land, because maybe this was the karka that indeed was excluded. Oh, and then, if that really is the case, that if clearly the kinyan is not chal legabe nichasim because of that exclusion, so therefore eino kone es atzmo. In other words, there are two moving parts, the shichrar and the assets. Once there is an exclusion, and the exclusion impairs the transfer of assets, you know what? So now you have two parts to the representation of the adam, one which is meaningless, karka, and that is going to impair the second half as well. So Pashub Shat, that's the Chiddush of the Rif, the Ramban, the Rimigash, the Kevan, Sheno Kogne, Shum Karka, so therefore Eno Kogne is Atzma. When you look in the Rashbam on Baba Basra, Kuf Mem Tes, on the base, the Ramas Choshir, there, the Rashbam points out something more direct. You know, we're talking about a transfer of Karka, and we're talking about a shichur ha'eved, a shichur ha'eved. But you know what? That, what do you mean? That an eved is dino kekarka. An eved is dino kekarka. So that's really true. If I say that everything is transferred to you, with an exception of karka, maybe that's not kishem. That just as there's an exclusion here, so too there's an exclusion there. The way the Rashbam explains it is following, that once you're mishar karka kolshu, and an eved is dino kakarka, oh, so in such a case, that maybe the eved is being excluded. In which case, obviously, there is no shichur whatsoever. So whereas Poshav Shata will tell you in terms of the rif, it means that no. This exclusion is only as far as stationary assets are concerned. But the question is as follows. Once you render part of the statement meaningless, maybe that's impactful for the entire statement. The Rashbam writes, he thinks it's more direct, and that is eved is dino kakarka. And once you have a shir karka kolshu, maybe that means that you are withholding part of the eved, in which case the shikur is not considered to be chal. So that's the Chiddush, the Rashbam of Basra, and that's what Tosfos cites, and Basra as well. There in the Sugya, Kufem Tesla, Beis, Dramasco, Shiur. So two possibilities within the Shita of Brit. Rashi is such a Chiddush. Rashi writes that even if Sim is a Shir, I'm not saying with an exception, I'm saying with this exception, with this exception. So all of a sudden, that's enough, according to Tanakama, to say, Lo Yatza Ben Chorin. Why exactly should that be true? Why should that be true? So Rashi Nar Sugya writes a stunning Chiddush. That after all, since, admittedly, I withheld something, but that withholding was explicit, it obviously was not the Eved, it was this particular piece of karka, so Chayshinan, that Lidide Nami Shir. Oh, we're going the next step. That you know what, that once you see that the statement was not categorical, the statement was couched, the statement was modified, it wasn't absolute, so maybe I have to be concerned that the same thing is true regarding the Eved himself. That's the Chiddush of Rashi Shita. Rashi writes explicitly those words. That one has to be concerned that L'didei Namishi. Well, no doubt that's a very, very great Chiddush. A very great Chiddush. No? Why in the world should that be? Why in the world should that be? See, I understand, let's say, according to the sheet of the Rif, you know what? You have a compound statement, and this is impaired, so maybe that holistically affects the entire Hakna. I understand. But according to Rashi, where everything is very explicit, and you say, you know what, there's a particular piece of karka that I desire. I have a family connection that goes back generations. I'm willing to give everything except for this. So why is it that we assume the Didena Mishir? Why would this even be a chash? So this is the kasha of Rabbi Kiveger, right? Rabbi Kiveger on that Mishnah. The Tosus Rabbi Kiveger, Peya Gimel Ches. Is that really true? Whenever you have an exception here, all of a sudden we run with it, that maybe that means an exception there. Is that really the case? Rabbi Kiveger writes the following. Let's assume this was a typical Shtar Matan that did not involve Shichur, that did not involve a Shichur. So we would be concerned about that type of thing. A person, for example, transfers all of his nechassim to an individual, chutz mikarka plon. You're really going to argue that, oh, you know what? Since there was a limitation, so therefore it affects everything else. But that would really be true when it comes to ishtar matana, that we're concerned that l'didei namishir. That would never be the case, Rabbi Kiveger writes. That no, I have this, and I want to transfer this to you, but I don't want to transfer that to you. So I made it very, very clear. This with the exception of that. So you're going to say, oh, maybe just like you excluded that, you also meant to exclude this. You never assume that indeed that's the case. So why would one argue that that's true in this particular case when it comes to the act of Shishra and the Kniyas HaNechasim? Obviously, Rashi maintains that when it comes to Nechasim, would never say, L'didei Namishir, L'didei Namishir. Why all of a sudden here are we concerned? So if you look in the Nesivos, right, in the Torah's Gittin, the Nesivos points out, right, two points. Number one is as follows, that, you know what, there's some difficulty here, there's some reis. Because that's the starting point of our Gemara, Chesem Abeis. The typical language that one would have adapted would be, Atzmacha unachasai knuyimach. That would be the default, that's the starting position. I want to do two things. I want to go ahead and be meshachar you, A, And B is, you know, we'll talk about a transfer of assets. Pashur Shat, that those are two different moving parts, two different kinyanim, not something which is at all haba hatalia. If that was the case, if I said atzmacho unachasai, we would never say that kevin to share b'hai is shinami b'hai. However, there's a problem here. Sasam. No? But Adon just simply said konachasai. And maybe that means konachasai in the sense of all or nothing. All or nothing. After all, the statement is an absolute, a complete transfer. If I say I'm transferring this and transferring that, no one's going to say that if you build in a limitation to that, it affects this. But now that the general language is used of kol nechasai, and we see that the kol nechasai is not really, really fully accurate, it means it's a built-in exception. So now all of a sudden that Rashi writes, we're concerned that l'didei namishir. So the first thing in the Siva Sarayas is this is only because of the language which is used, combining the Shichur with the Haknas HaMamon. Then the Siva Sarayas, it's a further point that we'll have to discuss later at greater length, and that's as follows. You know, there's a certain built-in tension or paradox to Shichur. Because on the one hand, the Adon has to be makne to the Eved. On the other hand, that koma shekana Eved, kana rabo. The Eved has to acquire the Shtar Shichur, even though that the Eved does not have any right of independent acquisition. That's something which is a built-in tension to that aspect of Shichur. How indeed is it that the Eved acquires this capacity? Maybe one could argue a very great Kiddush. We'll see in the later sugyas. Maybe you're right. Maybe Shtar Shichur can be given to someone else who acquires it, and that secures the Shichur. But Pashup Shat, if I go ahead and I give this Shtar to the Eved, there's a certain irony, no? That an Eved is acquiring Ayyadei Chirus, his ability to acquire. So how exactly does that work? You know what the answer is? Well, one has to come up with this stunning principle. And we'll have to see, what is this halach b'chol Torah kula? Is this uniquely true when it comes to the case of Eved? But you see, at least in the case of Shichur Eved, that Gito v'yado b'ayin ke'achad. Gito v'yado b'ayin ke'achad. But amazing that with the transfer of the Shtar Shichur, he acquires the right to be the recipient of the Shtar Shichur. And that occurs simultaneously. So this is not considered to be a typical act of haknah to a stranger. The Eved as is has no possibility of doing so. And you have to invoke a gituv yado boin ke'echad. And that's why you have to say kol nechasai. Oh, maybe then that is considered to be the chiddush. Ooh, the Nesiva suggests in the Torah's Gittin. Rashi would never say this when it comes to other kinyanim. I go ahead and I give you my assets with the exception of this karka. We're going to say that midashir behind the didei namishir. No, but if you're talking about an unusual form of akna that requires that giti rabbin keachad, and guess what? That hakna is not absolute. That hakna is limited. Maybe it lacks the ability of applying that principle of a gita v'yado b'ayin ke'achad. Maybe only here, according to Rashi, this would be a problem, even in a case where the exclusion is considered to be explicit, and the exclusion is considered to be that which is demarcated. It's an important chiddush. We'll have to learn more about the concept of gito v'yado b'ayin ke'achad. When you look, for example, just at the Yad Rama points out in Asugyan Babasran Daf Kufnon that realize that the language that was used was not Atzmacho Unochasai. There was no independent, explicit mention of the Eved, but rather the language that was utilized is including the Eved in the Nechasim, treating the Eved and the Nechasim as a single unit, as Guf Echad, as one entity. And that is the Chiddush of Rashi, that if the Eved is not being treated independently, it's not offset, but Kol Chasai, and Kol Chasai embraces everything, so the Chiddush, then according to Tanakama, leave the Rashi, is that if there's any shear whatsoever, that is considered to be a shear, the Gufo Shel Eved. And therefore, according to Rashi, that's even true if it is something which is very, very specific. Okay? Now, the next step of the Gemara, that Rav Abba Bar Masna says the following, this issue that you're describing, that's dependent on Palgin and Dibur. That's dependent on Palgin and Dibur, what we discussed at length. According to Tanakama, lo Palgin and Dibura, and therefore lo Yatzu L'Cheres. And according to Rabbi Shimon, Palgin and Dibura, and therefore, yes, absolutely, Yatzu L'Cheres. Yatzu L'Cheres. How exactly does that work? What exactly is the Tliyah? Let's assume according to the Bir of the Rif, lo Sin. He didn't exclude anything specific. He just simply said that, you know what? There is an exclusion of karka. There's an exclusion of karka. Kol nechosai knuyalach, the seven attains everything, but there is an exclusion of chutz regarding the karka. And it was not at all explicit. The problem is as follows, that if the exclusion is not specific, so as the Rif maintained, you don't require any karka. That's clear, no? Any given piece of karka, the Adon can always say, that's what was included in my exclusion. That's exactly what I was referring to. So if a person goes in and says that chutz mikarka kol shuhu, and doesn't express exactly what that karka is, you know what the bottom line is? Lo kana shum karka. Lo kana shum karka. So now I'm asking you the following. So you have a single statement of kol nechasai, and I compromised my ability to secure any karka. To what extent is that still considered to be alive and well, vibrant, when it comes to the shikra hevet? So that's exactly the chiddush of Ravada Bar Masna. That should depend on Palgin and Dibura. That should depend now on Palgin and Dibura. That's exactly the tliyah. If you say chutz mikarka kolshu, that means that lo kana shum karka. Can I argue? Lo kana shum karka, but kana satsmo. That should depend. If you're going to say lo palgin dibura, that means you have to view the statement as a whole, and that means that the hakna is considered to be impaired. And that's exactly what Rav Shimon disagrees with. Rav Shimon says, I admit that you can't go in and secure your rights to any particular karka, but es atzmo kana. Is that really true that you can sort out? You can say that, yes, when it comes to karka, your right is compromised, but it doesn't affect the integrity of the shichrur. So that's exactly how the Rif reads the Gemara. That's exactly the Palgin Dibura. If I have a right to go in to sort out that kol nechasai is the equivalent of atzma kol nechasai, so therefore any hesitancy regarding nechasai is not going to affect the atzmacha. And therefore, Palgin Dibura would have the shichrur take place. If you're going to lo kal din bigur, it means that you have to assess that holistically, in which case the kol nechasai is now impaired, and therefore, if lo kona shum karka, eno kona es atzma. Well, let's assume, for example, like the Rashbam, where the Rashbam introduces, realize, this is not incidental, this is critical. There's a shear when it comes to karka. And an evid is sukash lakarka. An evid is dinoka karka. So if I withheld karka, and an evid is dinoka karka, so Tanakam is concerned that maybe you withheld the evid. I said chutz mikarka kolshu. Yeah, but an evid is dinoka karka. So if that really is true, the Tanakama sounds so compelling, no? When I said, chutz mi karka kol shehu, That's like saying chutz me'eved kol shehu. No, it's like saying withholding within the eved, because an eved is dina kekarka. So the Tanakam is right. How can you allow the shikra to take place? Just like you can't allow to secure that particular piece of karka because of the shear, the same thing Rishu when it comes to the gufo shel eved. So how does Rav Shimon disagree? Apparently, Rav Shimon argues as follows. Not necessarily. When I say chutz mikarka koldu, according to Rabbi Shimon, I'm not referring to the Eved, but rather I'm referring to absolute karka. Karka mamish. And therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, even if somehow you withheld regarding the karka, we don't consider that to be a withholding as far as the Eved is concerned. And if that really is true, so good. He's not caught any karka, but of course it doesn't impair the act of shikra itself. So it sounds to be a very simple machlokas in the following. When I say, kol chasan, chutz mikarkazu, what do I mean by chutz mikarkazu? Do I include something which is dino kakarka? Or am I only referring to absolute karka? It's true, look, and Eved is dino kakarka. So you know what? The kinyani Eved are going to parallel kinyani karka. But there's a world of difference, no? And Eved is up and around to 90. We discussed this before, the different gedarim of karka versus metaltalin, no? And Eved is somewhat unusual. We saw that right, no? On the one hand, it can be dino kakarka. On the other hand, it's nechasim she'en l'machrayas, no? David's alive and well and running all around, no? So imagine, you're going to secure your prisbo based on the existence of the Eved. It's not something that is nitan l'gvia. It's not something you can secure. So an Eved, no doubt, has somewhat of a mid-position. On the one hand, v'halacha, it's true. It's nechaltan. An Eved is dino kakarka. On the other hand, it clearly is not. Karka mamish. It's always important to know. No. In Ocho Shabbos, in Ocho Sukkah, sometimes a behemoth could be dino kakarka. No. Ein disha ela gudule karka. No. You only invite the malach of dash if it's gudule karka. So that's why Hatzal Chilazon Bapotzal and Shabbos Nafnunay and Shabbos Nafayinay. You're not going to be chayiv necessarily for dash extracting the liquid from the chilazon because a fish is not called karka. It's not called karka. What about a cow? Ooh, the Rambam Shita. Then what do you mean that a cow is called gedulei karka? We discussed this in the past year, no? The Rambam writes that chovel is chayiv mishum dash. No? But dash is in disha elo gedulei karka. So you know what you have to say? An animal, a human being, is dino kakarka. It's dino kakarka when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos. Good. So imagine, what my sukkah kshir is? This Talmud, right? He's this piece of schach, right? And this animal is that piece of schach. You know what you're going to tell me? No way in the world, no? After all, maybe you can argue that Hilchos Shabbos something is dino kakarka, but it's not called psoles dogon, it's not karka mamish. It's not karka mamish. So here in this particular sense, now the Rashbam writes, the sheet of Tanakama is you excluded karka, and an Eved is dino kakarka. So of course you have to be concerned that there's an exclusion. What in the world was Rav Shimon saying? No? According to Rashbam, that the Tanakama is the Raposha. What is Rav Shimon? Rav Shimon will argue, when you say chutzla karka, you mean an Eved? What, because when it comes to the Mareches HaKinyanim, an Eved is dino kakarka? So when I go ahead and I say chutz mi karka, that means that chutz mi shichra eved. Of course not. So that's a pretty important machlokas. Now, when I go ahead and I say, right, kol nechasan, and except for karka kol shehu, am I including an eved in that, or am I only including karka mamish? Karka mamish, or that which is considered to be dino kakarka. Okay, that sounds pretty cool. No? That you're using a term that, you know what? In certain dinim, it's like karka. In other dinim, it's like metaltalin. And I go ahead and I say, chutz mikarka kol shehu. Do I really have to be concerned that there is a built-in exclusion of the shichur of the shichur eved? Okay, so I got that. You know, so it's a machlokas in terms of, I would say, the formulation of the kinyan, whether karka should be interpreted this way or karka should be interpreted that way. I understand. Oh, now Rav Aver Masa says the following. This all depends on Palginin Dibura. Whoa. That's not so simple, no? That should depend on Palginin Dibura. That should depend on Palginin Dibura. Is that really true? Let's assume according to the Poshub Shabt and the Rith. It has nothing to do with an Eved Adina Kakarka. Clearly, the Shir was Karka. No one's denying that. When I said Chutz Mikarka Koshu, I really mean Chutz Mikarka Koshu. No? Let's speak in English, no? With the exception of real estate. And Eved is not real estate. No? Oh, but the point now is the following. So once you've gone ahead holistically and impaired that aspect of the Kinyan, how does that reflect to the balance of? So that I understand, that can be a function of Palgein Dibura. Can I say not good for this, but good for that? Or do I say absolutely not? Everything should be out. Just like in a case of Ploni Ravani Dartsoni. The problem is regarding this, but how does it affect that? If I say Palgein Dibura, I have a right to split out. Do I have a right to do this as well? According to the Rashbam, there's a certain beauty in the beer of the Rashbam, no? That this is an absolute machlokas in terms of the Pirush Hamilim, what is meant by karka? Karka mamish or tino ke karka. And those are two very legitimate possibilities. So when I say chutz the karka zu, do I mean chutz the karka mamish, or do I say chutz the mashedino ke karka? They understand, oh, Rav Aver Masa says, you know what? That's dependent on Palgin and Dibura. That's dependent on Palgin. How is that dependent on Palgin and Dibura? What in the world does that have to do with split, not split? What does that have to do with Sanhedrin Daf Tes? No? So you know who's bothered by this? The Tosus of Mavasra and Daf Kuf Mem Tes and the Beis. That, you know what, if I'm explaining my focus in this way, that's pretty interesting, you know? Person makes a net there. He says, I'm going to do something during Sukkis. Oh, I wonder, does that include Shmini Atzeres? No? Because Mikra HaDen Torah Shmini Atzeres is sometimes Rogo B'Hatzma, sometimes it's not. Does this word include this? Does this word include that? I get that. What does that have to do with Kani Dibura? So you know what Tosus writes? Tosus writes the following Kiddush. Whether or not I should include something which is Dino Kekarka, that should depend on Palgini Dibura. How I interpret the word Karka, that should depend on Palgini Dibura. Because, look, if I would have said, Atzmacha Unachasai, there's no way in the world you would include the Atzmacha in the Nachasai. No? If I say Nechasai, that means all assets. If I say the Eved and assets, that's clear. It means the Eved and remaining assets. Why in the world did I say Atzmacha Nechasai? So if I would have said this and that, it's a Dabra Poshut. So it's clear if I would say Atzmacha Unachasai and I'm a Shire Karka, that is only considered to be a Shire of Karka. I would never argue that an Eved is Dino Kakarka, therefore the Eved isn't included. Of course not. Would anyone say Atzmachu Unachasai B'Shir Kar Shekoldu that the Eved is included? Certainly. That's the beginning of the Mishnah. If you said this and that, it's not true. It's only because I said Kol Nachasai. Oh, so that's what Tosus writes. Once all of a sudden, you know what, that you are combining the Eved and Shar Karka under the same heading of Kol Nechasai. Now, you know what I could argue? That Karka here now has to be interpreted as something which is broader than Karka Mamish. Because you used a single term to embrace the Eved as well as Karka. Oh, how would that happen? The Rashbam writes, because in Eved is Dino Kakarka. Oh, so if you're going to view Kol Nechasai as a seamless statement, guess what? Now the shear can be affected even by Devid as well. If you're going to argue, no, Palgin and Dibura. The Kol Nechasai is an efficient way of saying Atzmacha Unachasai. I can just simply say all my assets. I don't have to break down. But that means Palgin and Dibura, this and that. So you know what? When I proceed and say Chutz Mikarka Koshu, so therefore it is only a shear in the Gufel Shel Karka, and it is not considered to be a shear as far as Gufo shall have it. And therefore, woo, that's the Kiddush of the Gemara. That's why it depends on a Palkin Debura. He had no senes. That's exactly the issue. Am I able to adopt a restricted definition of karka? Or I have to adopt an expanded definition of karka to include anything which is inoka karka? So you know what the answer is? That's going to depend on Palkin Debura. Because if you view it as two independent statements, atzma chuna chasai, karka means karka. If you're going to have to argue, no, that there has to be a commonality, and that requires broadening, guess what? So you know what? That can even be a shir, b'gufo shel eved. Wow. So that's the hemshech of the Gemara. That's a stunning kiddush. You know, according to the Riff, it sounds simple, right? And that is that you've impaired part of the statement. How does it affect the rest of the statement? No, but here, according to Rashbam, whether you can assume that there's a shir in the eved because eved is dino kakarka, that should be a function of how you view the statement holistically. And therefore, that indeed is the Chiddush of the Gemara. And what would you say now according to Rashi? I guess you have to assume a similar hundus according to Rashi in the following sense. We're talking about a case where the person didn't just say, I'm excluding karka, I'm excluding this karka. Wow. So, well, of course Rav Shimon is correct, no? If he's excluding this karka, what does this have to do with that? If I say, I'm excluding the karka at this address, so what in the world does that have to do with Gufo Shel Eved? So obviously, it's not Smokana. Why in the world would Tanakama disagree? Why would the Tanakama say, no, it compromises the Shikra? Okay, so if we're talking about CMS a Shikra, you have to assume this difficulty, you know, that chayshinan, that shir namihah. Oh, just like the person excluded this, he probably excluded that as well. You see, the statement was not absolute. Just like there was an exclusion here, there was an exclusion there. Okay, so the machlokas tanakam Rabbi Shimon is as following. When I go in and I say that I'm excluding this, do I have to be concerned that maybe I'm also excluding that? Whoa, so... So now what does the Gemara suggest? That's dependent on Palgin and Dibura. Why is that dependent on Palgin and Dibura? Oh, so Pashup Shah, the same type of fundus. Meaning that in order to say that maybe if you did this, you did that, that's predicated on seamlessness. Chativ achas. In order to say that maybe just as here, so too there, you know, I made a kinyan on Monday, I made a kinyan on Wednesday. You're going to say, the kinyan on Wednesday withhelds the kinyan on Monday without. You're going to say, what in the world does one have to do with another? No, the question is the following. It was b'dibur echad. Oh, do I have a right to assume palgin dibur? If I have a right to assume palgin dibur, that means I'm going to treat shtei yiduyos b'hagon achas, I'm treating the shtei yiduyos. So therefore, any shear to A is not at all impactful on B. So therefore, I'm not going to be chayish whatsoever that Shema shear namiha. But if you're telling me that no, lo pagin dibura, it means the statement has to be rendered holistically, and I recognize, you know, that, okay. You know, once the Gemara says, Tana b'shir, no? When the Tana made a statement, he left out something. So what does the Gemara immediately ask? Me the shir hai shir nami hai. What else did he leave out? No? Once you're telling me that the statement is not absolute, but there's an exclusion. So Rashi writes that, oh, we have to be concerned. So Rav Shimon says, no, Palgin Dibura. That would be exactly like Atzmachu Unachasai. In an Atzmachu Unachasai, you really are concerned that shir nami hai? Of course not. But the Tanakhama writes that no, the fact that you didn't say Atzmel Chon Chasam, the fact that you said it Bahagod Achas, as one seamless statement. Once there is a shear, even an explicit shear, that's something which is considered to be that which is impactful. So that's how Poshup Shah, one can understand Rashi, except. No? That's how Tosis presents. But Rashi and Avtes does not say that, no? Rashi and Avtes does not say this. How do you know Rabbi Shimon holds Pagina? How do you know Rabbi Shimon holds Bogin? Oh, so that's our lumbus. Because since we view it as two independent statements, two independent assertions, there's no way in the world you would ever say that Midashir Baha'i is Shinami Baha'i. Okay, wow. So whether you would think that, oh, that's dependent on Bogin Debura, Rashi does not write that. Rashi writes the following Chiddush. That, you know how the Gemara knows Rabbi Shimon maintains Bogin Debura? Because Rabbi Shimon adds one word, no? La'olam. La'olam. La'olam, la'olam. Wow. What does that mean, la'olam? Rabbi Shimon says, la'olam hu ben chorin. Except for mamish chutz me'echad ribu shavayim. But in every other case, whoa. So that's fascinating, no? In other words, that the diuk of the Gemara Palgin Dibura is not because of the halacha of Rabbi Shimon, not because halacha of Rabbi Shimon, that Rabbi Shimon said in the case of CMS Hashir, that we're concerned that Midashir Baha'i Shir Nami Baha'i, what does that have to do with Palgin Dibura? If I say, with the exception of Karka, this address, obviously, it doesn't mean there's another exception, another address. Yeah, but Rabbi Shimon added one word. La'olam, la'olam. You know what that word la'olam means? That's what Rashi writes, Dir Maskal Ad. La'olam means afilu lo siyim. Afilu lo siyim. If Rabbi Shimon's halacha was only where it was specified, Rabbi Shimon should not be saying la'olam, la'olam. It means in all cases, regardless of whether siyim or lo siyim. Oh, what about lo siyim? In lo siyim, isn't that a real chashash? If he just says, I'm excluding something, so shouldn't we argue that maybe there's an exclusion of evet? Wow, that's Rashi's deal. The deal is just based on lo. So is dependent on Palgin Dibura. That's dependent on Palgin Dibura. Wow. The fact that in a case of lo siyim, see here Rashi is similar to the Rif, in the sense that the Rif says the whole case is lo siyim. Rashi says, no, that's not the case. The case in the Mishnah is siyim, that's clear. But when Rabbi Shimon disagrees with the Tanakhama, he disagrees so forcefully that he says, la'olam, meaning I would maintain my shita, even if lo siyim. How do you understand lo siyim? You know what the answer is? Palgin Dibura. Palgin Dibura. Wow. So that's something which is pretty striking. No? One could have argued the way Rashi does just based on this notion of a seamlessness. If it's one statement. But here Rashi writes the following. That if it's a case of siyim es anachasim, we would not necessarily assume that you have to come on to Palgin Dibura. But if I'm going to argue la'olam, afilu lo higdir, afilu lo siyim, that means we have to argue that Rabbi Shimon is maintaining the case of Palgin Dibura. When you look at the sugya in Baba Basra, Dav Kuf Nun Amar Aleph, there the Gemara discusses an additional case. Rav Dimi Bar Yosef says the following in the name of Rav Elazar. What would you say about a shear of metaltalin? Our case in the Gemara is shear karka kolduhu. Shear karka kolduhu. What about metaltalin? Would I assume osu metaltalin shear eitzel evet? If I say everything is yours, chutz me. How does that impair the shiur? So the Gemara quotes that statement, Rabbi Elazar Chiddush, that osu mitaltalin shiur eitzel. The Gemara says, how exactly does that work? Rabbi asked Rav Nachman, my taima, Why should that be? Oh. It must be, Rav Nachman says, because Rav Elazar is assuming that Avda Metaltalinu. No. He must be assuming that Eved is Dinok Metaltalin. And Metaltala Habishir. Because as we discussed, you know, one issue is when it comes to Merechas HaKinyanim, whether Eved is Dinok Karka, but everybody agrees, Eved is not Chubur LaKarka. It's not Karka Mamish. It's not Karka Mamish. We mentioned important hagdaros. Now, for a suki, you can't use karka. I can't use a cloud of dirt, right, to go ahead into be my schach. You can't use karka. It has to be gidule karka. Gidule karka. On Shabbos, if we say, you know what, that this milk only applies to gidule karka, it applies to karka mamish. That's one of the cases of the Gemara. Tochen, no? Tochen means you take a cloud of dirt and you chop it up. Right, earth is called karka in Hilchos Shabbos. Hilchos Sukkah, it's not. Right, just like we had cases in terms of a behema, no bal chayim. So here, what exactly does it mean that avda is considered to metalta? There, the Rashbam writes because it's not mechuber lekarka. It's not mechuber lekarka. And if it runs, it's free. It's not considered to be mechuber karka in any sense at all. So the Rav Nachman says the following. Because metaltalin can be a shear, meaning a built-in exclusion. When it comes to the shichrar, if an eved is metaltalin who? If we assume that for this element, we treat an eved as. Okay. So, how do you understand that alignment? That alignment? Is metaltalin considered to be a shear? When I say the same thing is true here, is argamah. I'm a shachar and eved, and I say, however, nechasei knilach chutz. In metaltalin, is that considered to be a shear? So the Gemara says, look, the only way you can say yes is if you hold that avda is considered to be like metaltalin. Avda is considered to be like metaltalin. Okay? Let's assume according to the Rashbam, very good. The only reason our Gemara says that maybe the Eved is a shear when it comes to Karka is because an Eved is Dinoka Karka. So maybe that's the exclusion. So that's exactly what the Gemara says in Mavasra, Daf Kufnun. If you have a Deya, Rabbi Lazar, that says, Osu Metaltalin Shear Eitzel Eved, you have to be assuming that an Eved is Dinoka Metaltalin. Because otherwise, how would that work? How in the world would that be? Again, the Rashbam is assuming it's a case of losin. I'm excluding something that is metaltalin. So if you can say that something is the shichur eved, you have to assume that eved is kimetaltalin when it comes to this miskeret. That's very, very good. That's very, very good. Right. And according to Rashi, where Rashi says that, you know what? Oh, that me the shir bahai, shir nami bahai. You know what I would say? Not as obvious, no? How does Rashi read our Gemara? That it's not that, you know what, that this is the meaning of the exclusion. It's that just as there was exclusion A, maybe there's also exclusion B, no? According to Rashbam, it's very good, no? We're only concerned with exclusion A. Exclusion A is shear of metaltalin. So you have to be able to say that it is kemetaltalin. That's exactly what Rav Nachman says. But if you're telling the lumdus of the sugya is that, you know what, I'm not saying this is A. I'm saying, midashir baha shenai baha, that once you demonstrate that you withheld, so maybe there was an additional withholding as well, so do you have to really say that avda's metaltalu? Maybe one could say the following, that look, I was transferring everything to the Eved, but you know what? I boxed out this item, so maybe me to shir baha, shirnai baha. Why do you have to necessarily assume that, oh, Rav asked Rav Nachman, my time and the answer is avda kemetaltalin. You have to come on to avda kemetaltalin in order to say me to shir baha, shirnai baha. Yeah, so the answer is, yeah, just as we said, that's true. The only reason you're going to say Midashir Bahai, Shir Nami Bahai, is if there is a seamlessness. There's a commonality. Otherwise, you would never say such a thing. You would never say in the typical Mareches HaKinyanim, Midashir Bahai, Shir Nami Bahai. But if you say there is a withholding of metaltolin, and you can justify an evid as being metaltolin, then you could argue that, you know what, that who says that the withholding is limited to that? But Boshav Shat, even Rashi would agree that indeed that's true. And you have to assume the same thing then according to the Rif. The Rif said we're talking about a case of Losim. Losim means the following, that there was a shear in metaltolin, which means that you're not kona any metaltolin. Because any metaltolin, one could argue, that's exactly what I was withholding. So how do you say that it's atzma lo kana? So the answer is because evidence is considered to be dino kemetaltolin. Again, the same lumdus. If there's a seamlessness, yeah, then you can say that that's true. But otherwise, and otherwise they're not. So that's the beginning of that sugya. But now, the Gemara continues. Maybe there's another moving part. What exactly would that be? The Gemara has a steer, no? A steer. Rav Nachman says the following chiddush. You have a shchivne, Rav Nachman says, no, tesam alav. Shekosav kol nechosav la'avdel. All the nechosim are transferred to the Zev. But it's a shchiv mirah. So when I say kol nechosav, you know, it means shikhar of it and a transfer of assets. You know what? There's something about this matna shchiv mirah. No? You know, we're going to have a different set of rules for the matna shchiv mirah. One rule is how is it that a kinyan is created? But what about the possibility of chazar? Guess what? The shchiv mirah goes ahead and does that, and all of a sudden, right? Aman. Oh, incredible! Now he was on the threshold of death, and all of a sudden, guess what? Now all of a sudden he's alive and well. He recovered. So you know what? He can retain his nechasim. Chozer ben nechasim. But what about as far as the evid is concerned? If this really is considered to be a case, kosov kol nechasov la'avdo, and this was an act of shichrur, and now the evid is a ben chorin, his status has changed, no. You know, he was an Eved Kanan Dino Keisha. And now he has a full Kedushas Yisrael. Maybe. Right? The Gemara does mention that after the Shichur, he has to be Tovel B'Mikvah again. That's a fundamental Machlokas Rishon. Tosus the Rama. Is that a Din D'Arayis or is that a Nechomed Rabbanan? Maybe it's a Din D'Arayis after he mashed him the Geir. So now Nechomed Rabbanan, Nikra Adin. The Shichur automatically means that the original Geirus morphs into a full Geirus. Wow. And all of a sudden now we're going to say that no longer. You're back to your status as an Eved Kanani. It's amazing. Now Shchiv Mirah goes ahead and says, Kol Nechasav Avdo, and he recovers. So as far as the Nechasim is concerned, wow. The Nechasim is concerned. Nachman says that that's subject to change. That can return to that individual. But the Eved, Eino chozer b'avda. So again, here you have, right, a statement of kol nechasav avda, and we're saying that, you know, the element that replies to nechasim, that is revoked, but the element that applies to shikhar evid remains. Oh, so the Gemara says that's an indicator that Rav Nachman assumes that Palgrin Dibura, you have a compound statement, but I'm going to treat them with different Gedarim. The Mammon is revoked, the Issa remains, and therefore, Chozeb and Achasim, and Chozeb Avdo. Yeah, but the Gemara points out a problem. No, a problem. This is Rav Nachman speaking. And Rav Nachman says the following, HaKosev kol nachasav la'avdo. And what happens if the shir, guess what? Lo yotze ben chorin. Rav Nachman paskens like the Tanakama, like Rav Meir, the lo palgin adibur. So how do you reconcile that difficulty? Wow. Shchiv mira, where we split, but kosev kol nachasav la'avdo v'shir, lo yatsa. How do you go ahead and understand that? Well, so Rashi says the following. No. Rav Nachman agrees, Pogin Adibur. Well, if he agrees, Pogin Adibur, so why do I assume it? Kol nachasav la'avdo v'shir. Why do I assume liyatze ben chorin? Ooh, Sravashi introduces now a new idea. A get. A shtar shichru. That has to result in krisus. A get is called the safer krisus. You need krus gita. It has to create a severance. That get cannot go ahead and allow the Baal Nisha to be tethered to each other. It has to result in krisus. And what's true of a get, no, lola misha, that's when it comes to shar shichru. So that has to result in an absolute krisus. And here, Kasav Nachasav La'avdo V'shir, that impairs the shichru. Not because of Palgin Dibur. Even if it's seamless, even if one is going to argue that, you know what, all right, you know, there are two elements to it, but nonetheless, that's not called a safer krisus. So, what exactly does that mean? Okay, so take a look now. No, take a look at the Rashi in the Sugya. I take a look at the Tosfos, Damasco, Halacha, Rabbi Meir. What exactly are these halachos of Kruskita? To what extent is that something that is so obvious? It has to create a severance. You have a shear as far as A is concerned, but not a shear as far as B is concerned. So what exactly is its significance? And take a look, at the Rash from the Sun. If one argues that, wait a second, that you cannot have a shtar that creates a continuity, it has to create a severance, is this only in the case of konachasai? Or would this even be in a case of atzma konachasai? Up until now, we've been dealing with just simply, if it's atzmachu unachasai, that's clear that there's a shear for one and a shear for another. But wait a second, if you're telling me now it's a question of kruskit, which means you have a shtar, a get, and a get has to create a severance. And this get is not creating a severance. There's still something that links. Would that be true even in a case of Atzmacha, Unachasai as well? That really does not result in a full Shtar Shichrur if there's something that is still connected. And just a further, I want you to think about this follows. You know, I understand the Shtar has to create a severance. The shtar cannot be used to empower a connection. I understand that. But is that really what's happening in these cases? The shtar is empowering. Is that really what's happening? Well, whatever the Adon retains, he's retaining, no? Any right that he has is not really a function of the shtar. It's a function of his prior bailus that remains. It's not like I'm having a shtar that is simultaneously a shtar krisus and a shtar haknav, that I want the same shtar to serve in opposite directions, to empower and to sever. The shtar is severing. If there's any limitation, it just means that my prior status is continuing. Isn't that a chiddush to call that a lack of kruskita? As though the shtar is simultaneously severing and empowering. Is the shtar really empowering at all? After all, any right that the Adon has to what was withheld is not a new right at all. No, it just simply means that nothing is being created and bestowed. It just simply means that it's being withheld, it's being maintained. Is that so obvious? But that's considered to be like the violation of kruskita. Okay, so I have to pick up. That's someone else.